It's Monday, April. No, it's not April. It's, geez, it's May.
It's May.
Yes. Yeah.
Our first show of May 2nd, 2022. It is like 9 o'clock in the East Coast. It's like 8 o'clock down in Mexico. It's 6 o'clock in California. It's like 3 in the morning or something like that over there in the UK. And
yeah.
Whatever time it is in your corner of the world, you've tuned into. You may have not done it by intent, but regardless, you're on the Andy and Amanda Show, Coast to Coast Live here on Blog Talk Radio. Our number to join us for the next hour is 515-605-9888. You're certainly welcome to join the show, anybody. Talk about what you'd like to. It's kind of free form Monday here. How are we doing, guys? Girls, what's going on?
I'm doing great. I'm over here in the East Coast. Oh, my gosh, it's killing me.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Things cooled off down there in Mexico, Amanda?
No, my darling. It's overheating here, sweetie. I can't cool down. I literally have to take a cold shower to try and cool off.
Oh, boy. my goodness.
Yeah, so I've had a banging headache with the heat. But, it's you know. I think it's where it's changing so much. It's going up, down with the weather. It's not one consistent temperature, and then it's going to be a mega hot week. Apparently, we're going to get up to 105 here. So,
holy smokes! I start, you know, it gets to be that hot. I start like fumbling around, bumping.
So anything will seem to fall into things.
Yeah, you know, like that. You know, I.
Yeah.
You know. The weather over there.
It's beautiful, 70s, beautiful breeze, blue skies, Southern California weather, man. Yeah, the life, you know, living the dream, you know, living the dream.
Yeah.
You bet, you bet.
What's been going on with you guys? You had a great weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, I had an awesome Yes.
I'm trying to think what I did. I don't think anything.
Well, I did the performance. The show.
I did. My God, yeah. I played a festival on Saturday, the Eclectic Music Fest, and was that great, man. There must have been, I don't know, 50, 60 different musicians on stages all over South Pasadena. It was a great festival. I enjoyed my show. It was a lot of fun to get back out and play in front of the audience again, but just as much fun was walking around the festival and checking out all the other different bands, singer-songwriters, and different types of eclectic music, from jazz to Broadway to Latin and a little of everything,
fun.
Classical. You know, yeah, and it was so great.
Yeah.
And I had a good turnout. It was so much fun. And to play in front of what ended up being a pretty packed house. And it was great. Just love it. And it kind of reminds me when I get out there and do what I do, I know why I do it, and that's what I do. You know, I know why I do it. It's like who I am. It's what I do. And you know, you've been away from it for so long. You know, I played a little couple things here and there, but you stay away from it for as long as a lot of professional musicians have because of COVID, and then you get back into it. You're up on stage again, and man, it just whoa. You know, it just things fly. You know, you're just like man. My biggest thing was going into it. It's kind of like. I'm like, why do today what you could put off till tomorrow? And I know I haven't played out live a whole show. I played a show about a month ago or so. I think I played a show. Yeah, I played the Song Splash thing. But for the most part, my wonder is if I'm able to get through a whole set regarding knowing the songs and knowing the words. Because, you know, I think the songs in my head I might want to play. I don't have a set list. I play whatever comes to mind at the time. And it's funny because I tell the story about, you know, I've got a lot of guitars and each guitar has a story to tell. You know, all the guitars have a history and a story. And the problem is when you get up on stage, if the guitar starts telling the story before it tells you what the words are to that story. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
So, Andy, what do the guitars be saying to you when you're on stage?
Good night, Irene, good night. Good night, Irene. Should I keep going?
Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my learned this song, Irene, from a friend of ours. His name was Hughie Leadbetter. He called himself Leadbelly, king of the 12-string guitar. Some people thought he was the greatest folk singer that ever lived in America. We knew him best as a rememberer of folk songs, and he taught us dozens of them, especially Irene. This was his theme song, and he sang it for over 30 years before he died. Well, he died before Irene got to be known to so many millions of Americans. Hughie had a hard and wonderful life. It's over now, but his songs are still very much alive.
Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dream.
Last Saturday night, I got married. Me and my...
Good night, Irene. Thank you. And I guess my favorite... Are you drinking? I got to tell you, I had a hit song. I don't know if many people know I have a hit. Do you know I have a hit? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I got a recording right here somewhere. Yeah. I'm gonna play. Here's me Saturday at the Eclectic Music Fest, and the one and the two and. Thank you.
Start spreading the news.
You bet. Thank you. So I got on stage with my guitar and I put that on. I just mimed the words, you know.
That's a classic.
Yeah, and then my second song. I have my whole set list right here. This is my second song.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around.
Thank you.
When he hears this mighty sound. Here I come to save the day.
Yes, thank you very much.
Now, that's the power of yours.
I got my whole set list right here, man. Moving right along.
Oh, man.
Thank you. I got one in my hand. Well, yeah. Yeah. Stay with me. This is for you, Amanda.
Oh,
porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. Una cucaracha pinta.
My favorite part of the song right here.
Colorada, vámonos
no,
para Chihuahua. Va a pasar la temporada. Una cucaracha pinta. Le dice a la colorada.
You know what they're saying, Bunny Chase?
No.
Esta orere famosa. Muy plente stinco borracho. I'd rather have an enchilada or better yet a hot dog weenie if I had some more tequila.
As long as I have a breath of life in my body, I shall continue in that spirit.
We should be speaking.
Yes, we should be.
Yes.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, are these fucking people kidding me?
I don't know. No. Hey. Yes, so it was. I've been having a lot of fun. And, of course, I got to play my encore song. I got a great encore I did the other night. I got a recording of it right here. Wait, it was great. They just ate me up. They forced me back on stage, and I began to. The crowd went nuts. They went crazy. They went absolutely nutso. And I went right to my encore. I went right to my encore.
We're caught in a trap.
Oh,
no. Because I love you too much, baby.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Knock it off.
All right, geez, you know, I'm just trying, you know.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
And
very
good. Man, did you know that Cornell has been singing a lot down there in Delaware, man? He's knocking him. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I got a recording of Cornell right here. Wait, let me do this.
Oh, please, I gotta get it.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor?
That was
way,
yeah. Definitely my favorite song
out here. But anyway.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, my God.
I would love to hear Cornell singing that. Come on,
Cole. I would.
For this big deal, it takes 3 minutes, get him an orgasm, then go to sleep.
Thank you.
That's me. Oh, my gosh, I had a great time. Oh, that's really two and a half.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I had a wild weekend, man. I was sipping some everything, and I had a good time. I was living a David Lee Roth's lifestyle.
What were you, you said you were sipping everything. You had lots of different drinks.
Well, actually, my favorite drink is Corona and whiskey, Jack Daniels, that is.
Oh, wow. That sounds a lot of fun.
Wow.
Over here is how the trees and everything is like growing. I'm not changing the subject. The trees are growing.
Yes,
you
are.
That's how my nose feels. And you got me on point. That's how my nose feels right now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
it's
bless.
Great to hear
from
you guys.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely
good to be back. Another week of the Andy Nemanja Show. God, they couldn't put up with this for another week. Our numbers, folks, are like, I checked them over the weekend. I got to tell you, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know how we're doing it or why we're doing it, for that matter, but we're doing it. And our numbers are going up significantly.
Really?
It's pretty, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That must
from negative 7 to negative 5, we're doing all right, you know? No, they really are. They're
thank
pretty
you
cool,
to
like.
our supporters and listeners. That means a lot to us that you're so supporting.
Thank
and
yeah, it really does. It really does. And even our live numbers are getting up there. And it's welcome one and all to the Andy Nemanja Show.
That's
we're doing
great.
This for you. We're just you're flying the wall. We have a conversation here. We enjoy it. We keep it light. Keep it easy. Keep it fun. And that's the way, talk radio is meant to be, I think, just kind of, have a conversation.
Yeah.
And you certainly are welcome to join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 p.m. That's New York time, whatever time that is, wherever you are. And we have an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, but mostly an hour show. And, join the show. We're up, let me check the stats here real quick. So our audience knows, so they don't have to change the dial or exit out of this podcast if you're listening to their show after a live program. We're up 49.7%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah. We've had it really is something. And
I'm impressed. Yeah.
Was Norway part of our live audience previously? I don't remember, but Norway showed up here pretty soon. Norway was, right?
It was Neverland.
Because
Neverland,
Norway is Norway's on the map now. I guess it may have been, but welcome aboard. You may have been there for a while, but I don't remember, so,
I think they were, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, and if anybody, again, wants to join us, that number...
The number! 330-330-330 or 303-330.
That clip makes me laugh every time.
It's fun.
Oh, over the weekend. It was actually quite a fun weekend for me. I in Mexico it was they have a celebration day. You know, like you have Mother's Day and Father's Day. They had Children's Day. So kids, they pretty much get spoiled and have a fun day, and rightly so, bless them. And so we put together these little goodie bags for the local neighborhood kids and gave them out, and ended up having a water fight with some kids, and that was a lot of fun. And yeah, it was interesting to be part of it and see all these kids so happy and, you know, all excited that it was Children's Day, and I think that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Wow. Yeah.
You've been in Mexico now for some time. What tell us about life in Monterrey. Like, what is it like there?
Well, I guess I can only make the comparison of here in the UK, right? Because I've not been to other parts of Mexico. I mean, I can only go on what I've heard about other parts of Mexico. So Monterrey is it's quite lively in parts. I'm kind of like on the outskirts. And I've taken like trips into the city and everything like that, and it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And the people here are, it's a different world being here than it is in the UK. Because on one hand, okay, and I expressed this to Bella the other day. We were trying to sort some stuff out on the phone regarding internet and all sorts of things that we had to sort out. So, and I expressed how life here is kind of fast paced in one sense, that everybody is, you know, busy working 24/7 and trying to make a life for themselves. And on the other hand, in terms of business, everything is slower than it is in the UK. Yeah, like to get like an issue resolved can take up to weeks. And seriously. And I was absolutely stunned at the time it's taken to resolve like one issue. And the rate that banks and companies work here is slightly different than in the US and the UK, where everything is so much more on it, you know, instant. And so that's interesting to see that. And I've seen and witnessed, and Bella's often expressed that, you know, people won't say hello here unless you say hello first. So you get this, you do get people, you do get people will see you and smile and say hello, but on a kind of average general, you walk around and people won't necessarily say hello to you until you say it first, and then they'll communicate with you. So it's kind of like, it's interesting.
That sound like Philadelphia.
Sorry?
I say that sound like Philadelphia.
I
was going to say, in the UK, you can go up to somebody and say hello, and there's no guarantees they'll say it back. So they're probably a little bit more friendlier here than they are in the UK, but... it's a different world, and it's interesting. There's nothing here that truly bothers me, because you know you can go to some countries and you think, oh, this is nice, but I can't deal with this. There's nothing that I've experienced so far that's made me think or feel that at all. It's a different pace of life and a different quality of life, and it's fascinating to be part of it, I think. And
that's awesome.
And I mean, you got the food, so come on, you know.
Of course. Yes. Hey, I wanted to ask you, do they have bacon down there?
Bacon?
Yeah, do they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What made you ask that?
Yeah, you know, I have a question. Do they have, do you guys in Mexico, when you're in Mexico, do they have, like, is their diet like Mexican foods, like burritos, taquitos, tajitos, jadidos, but you know what I mean? Do they eat like the tacos and the burritos and the tostitos on a regular basis?
Oh, everybody's eating all of those things all the time here.
So when they say Mexican food, like here in North America, then that truly is a typical Mexican meal. Would be like a taco, a tostito, a burrito, you know, something along those lines. That's real.
Although,
then that's.
You don't really see many or see many places here, especially here in Monterrey, I'm not sure about other parts of Mexico, selling burritos. Mm-hmm. You know, you mainly got the taquitos and, did I say that right? Taquitos? Yeah. And, different types of tacos and
I bet
many,
great.
Many
I bet,
other
they
meals.
Must be I bet they're great down there. I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just beautiful. Yeah. I mean, you've got the kind of fast food industry's version of Mexican food, and it's nothing compared to what it truly is in Mexico. So it's
the stereotype, right?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, come on, it's like going to McDonald's for a burger and then going to a real restaurant and having a burger, you know, with the quality meat and, you know, a better salad and better cheese and all that kind of thing. That's the comparison that I can make. Wow. That's how I see it. If you go to somewhere like Taco Bell, sure, you're getting some nice tacos, but you won't get the same quality as eating a traditional taco meal here in Mexico. So, yeah, it's beautiful to experience all these foods. And especially when, you know, they got people making these meals from home. The homemade Mexican meals are incredible. Absolutely incredible.
God, oh, gosh. Wow.
What do you eat for breakfast?
It depends. I mean, various things. I guess where I've come from the UK to here, so I've kind of been eating some things from the UK and cooking it for Bella and I, and then Bella will cook up various things for breakfast. I'm trying to think. We have chilaquiles. I think that's how you pronounce it. And see, I'm terrible at pronouncing these Mexican dishes. Yeah. I instantly forget what they are. But there's all sorts. I mean, we do stuff with eggs and add in the salsa and the Mexican beans and, you know, the cheese and enchiladas, you know. The list goes on. She's helping me out, bless her. She's in the room and she's helping me out.
Bella.
Sorry?
Bella. Yes.
Bella.
Yes.
Well, guess what I had for breakfast this morning?
What's that?
Captain
Crunch. Woo. You know, on hot days like this, I'm actually enjoying having the yogurt with the fruit and, like, raisins and coconut and oats and, you know, all that good stuff. Well, that's yummy for breakfast.
Yes. So, Andy, what is your...
I don't eat breakfast. I have coffee. That's it. And
you're one of those.
Yeah, I actually don't eat. For example, I just before we went on the air, I had a couple of speaking burritos, had a couple of chicken burritos, and I, you know, pre-packaged. They're good, Trader Joe's, man, really good. But anyway,
nice.
And so that's the first thing I had to eat all day today. I had a couple cups of coffee and this morning, and I'll go, you know, large part of the day because I either don't get hungry. I usually just don't get hungry, or I just get tied up and, you know, busy doing things, and I don't really think about food that much. And then when I'm finished, I'm you know, I'm kind of hungry. You know, as the evening or the day wears down or whatever, you know. I'd say I was busy in the studio all day with our good friend Kevin Michaels. That was a great. Oh, I haven't seen him since. It's been about a month, and it was great to get to go with Kevin again and start working on some projects. And great guy. You know, what a good guy. What a good guy. And
he is.
You know, I think we might want to do, if I can find it, because a lot of people don't know who Kevin Michaels is. And I was thinking about doing some music on today's show and thinking, what should we play for all these people? What should we do? And because I was working with Kevin all day, I figured maybe it would be kind of cool to play a Kevin Michaels song.
Cool.
Why not?
Yeah. Do it.
Down Home Georgia, charted number 3. Number one, for 3 weeks in country. Number one song in country. And not only in country, but also on the indie charts. So, power charts, the national radio charts, and the indie charts. Kevin Michaels, number one song, Down Home Georgia, here on the Andy and Amanda Show.
Some real fine home cooking and some old Muscadine wine.
yeah.
Choo-choo.
Oh, yeah.
All aboard.
He's home to Georgia.
Got a good friend, Kevin Michaels, Andy DeMander Show, Blog Talk Radio. It is Monday. It is another hour of the Andy DeMander Show. We're going to bring on our special guest who joins us a lot of Mondays from Hawaii, Chet Gardner. I think he's been holding patiently here. If I can chime him in. Hey, Chet, you with us? I think I hit the right button. Are you with us? Maybe I didn't hit the right button. Hello.
Hawaiian man, are you there?
You might be here. I thought I heard something.
Aloha. Huh?
Hello.
Hello.
Chet Gardner. How's everything? Do you hear me?
Yeah. I think, you know, where is he? I think it's safe.
It's a Democrat hoax.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Bless him. If you can hear that, come join me.
Anyway.
Chet, what are you saying?
Really, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, well.
Yeah,
but Chet is an accomplished musician himself. For those of you who are just joining us now, joined us a lot of Mondays here on the show. He's been a regular caller, good friend of ours, and he's a very accomplished musician, singer, songwriter, been around in that music folk biz for a very long time. And he produces and plays and writes and man of many talents. And it's great having him on here when he joins us, and when he hello, are you here? I don't know. Here, you. Anyway,
bless him.
Our number is 515-605-9888. Anybody can join the Andy DeMander Show. We got to pick up the phone and dial that number. You can also email us at andydemandershow@gmail.com. All our social media is like the same thing. You just kind of Google Andy DeMander Show and a bunch of things come up. You know, a lot of stuff.
Nice.
Guys,
really? No goose. I wonder how Chet's doing. I wonder how his day's been. I wonder how his weekend's been. Chet, where are you?
I wonder. You know, where are you? He's, I don't know. Do you know, I just read before we went on the show here that the Russians are bombing schools in Ukraine.
What? What kind of
shit? Yeah, I know. And 220 Ukrainian children have been killed since the start of the Russian invasion, and 1,570 educational institutions have been destroyed or damaged by shelling.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
And a 14-year-old boy was just killed, a 14-year-old teenager, you know, and Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, said, what did these children and the dormitory that they blew up threaten the Russian state with? What? You know, I haven't really been tied into the news of what's going on over there. I know there's a horrific war going on, and I know that we're helping this. Most of the free world is helping Ukraine by supplying food and military arms and that kind of support. But you wonder, you just wonder, and I'm not advocating this, but you wonder at what point, you know, when they start purposely blowing up schools and civilian targets, apartment buildings, places where they're hospitals, places where they know it's written so big, they see it in space where it says children are here, and they target those places. At what point does the free world step in and say, you know what, you know, you crossed a pretty big line here, and there's got to be a point where I wonder if there's a point where if we step up. However we can. I'm not saying we put boots on the ground, but we can put planes in the air. We can do something and without attacking Russia, just defending that country and without attacking Russia, just protecting them.
Yeah, I guess they're trying to play it safe, aren't they, really? With, you know,
well, they're worried about Russia interpreting that as a military move against them. When
exactly.
It wouldn't be. All we're doing is protecting a sovereign nation, and you're killing men, women, and children, innocent people, innocent kids, you know, 14-year-old teenager was killed today. A kid, you know, they blew up a school, they blew up a dormitory, they're blowing up places where they know people are sheltering, waiting to be evacuated group by group by group. There was one place in Markpol or Cole, whatever you call it, where they started evacuating people yesterday, and they're scheduled for another evacuation today. And now there's a plume of smoke over that facility. It's a big steel plant.
Oh my goodness!
And
that is awful.
You know, it really is unreal.
It's hard being a bystander, isn't it? And just
it is
witnessing all this craziness going on in the world. And like you said, it would be wonderful if we could step in and just so freely defend them. Because I'm sure if that was the case, it was so easy to do. We'd all be there. I mean, we've tried, haven't we, in many ways to try and be that without any kind of mistaken move perceived, you know, by Putin himself, and seeing it as, okay, well, yeah, you want to go to war? Let's do it.
I mean, it's not like they were there saying...
I am Dracula, and I welcome you to my house.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe doing that to children, man, and people, man. That's unbelievable, man. That's, oh, my gosh. It's a shame. Mm.
It is.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It really is. And we're supplying Ukraine with the weaponry and the defense mechanisms that they're using to do a very, very commendable job. And, you know, Russia has experienced tremendous, you know, significant casualty as a result of their actions. And you got to hand it to the men and women and you know, the army of Ukraine. I mean, they are committed to, you know, to be however long it takes, last man standing, whatever it's going to be. They're there to defend their country. And you just wonder, the free world, NATO, United States, okay, well, they're watching all this. We're reading the headlines. We have reporters, you know, CNN, all the news networks are there covering this live. And those reporters are putting their very own lives on the line. Of course, we know, heard stories of journalists getting killed as well. And
yes.
But the question is, when you see all this and you read the headlines, okay, a 14-year-old kid got killed, 220 children got killed, 1,572 educational institutions destroyed, places of shelter, apartment buildings are being deliberately targeted. When do we say, do we just sit by and keep giving him arms or whatever? In the meantime, the Russians are doing what they're doing. Do we just sit here and say and read the news? And that's it? Or, because we know we have the ability to come in and put a stop to it right now. We do have that ability. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I understand that it's not – we have no agreement with, you know, Ukraine like in NATO where we're, you know, you touch this land, you die. We don't have that with Ukraine. And I understand that it would be a pretty precarious situation to step in regarding our relationship with Russia and how they might retaliate our involvement there or the Western world's involvement there, so to speak. But I don't know. I'm tossed. I don't know how I feel about it. You know, one side of me, I would never want to go to war. I'm anti-war, anti-gun, anti all that stuff. But I don't know how I feel about this. I'm kind of.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, from that perspective, Andy, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you want to protect those innocents that, you know, are being killed and hurt. And so what do you do to protect them without using those means that we're so against? So it is difficult in that type of situation. I get it. And I mean, it just seems to me that he's Putin, that is a bit of a wild card. He appears to me kind of like a loose cannon sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it would take much for him to go, okay, yeah, let's fucking do this. Let's fucking do this. You want a world war? Yeah, I'll give you a world war.
That's great.
And I just pray that, you know, that it, things don't come to that.
Oh, you know, that's a bit of a love war. The guy that's in the background of war.
Oh, yeah.
And he's thinking about the Empire Striking Back.
Why have you come here?
I don't know.
We need to send over Dr. Ruth for some sex advice for him because, you know, go back to the 60s, make love, not war. I think that's very good.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm on the show. I asked her to come on the show.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
And she said,
it's going to have good sex for the rest of their life.
Well. And then guess
Oh, it's just a, you know, it's
catastrophe.
It is.
So, what do you think about Elon Musk buying Twitter?
Let me see if I can get hold that thought just for a second, because I think Chet is trying one more time. Let's see if we make it work this time. Let's see. Hello, Chet, you on with us?
Hello, guys.
There
Aloha.
He is.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we've been trying to get you on here, and we haven't heard you. But welcome aboard, man. Yeah, good to have you.
Yeah.
How you doing?
It was raining it was a major thunderstorm here, so I couldn't hear anything. So.
Oh, bless you. Hey, Chet, talking of thunderstorms, Mexico, right, the place I'm in Mexico, had a tremendous thunderstorm the other night. Now, we get obviously thunderstorms in the UK, but this was kind of tame compared to what I experienced here. So we were it's so funny. We literally just got off this show, and it was perfect timing because the power went out, everything went down.
Really?
I nearly had a heart attack in the kitchen. No. Basically, what happened was the heavens opened up. Okay, the rain came down with hailstones, and these winds just came rushing through. Obviously, it was like tornado kind of winds, okay? And I'd never seen anything like it start so quickly. The temperature, I mean, it's boiling hot here, just went ice cold. And then all of a sudden, these massive bangs and all these continuous flashing, like a strobe light outside. I was like, whoa! Got the camera, started recording. And I absolutely love thunderstorms. They thrill me. I'm that type of person. So, and
I went with you.
Yeah? Oh. Mm-hmm. I went into the kitchen, and I was like, you know, I'm really hungry because, you know, I always get an appetite after coming off the show. I don't know what that is. But so I'm like, I'm going to make a sandwich. Do you want a sandwich? And I'm about to grab the stuff to make a sandwich, and there was this massive crack of thunder and lightning, and the power went off, and I literally, off the floor, maybe half a foot. That's a good job.
God.
I wasn't cutting up vegetables and stuff and all the salad stuff for a sandwich at that point.
I've always had a thing for thunderstorms.
I've always
had a thing for thunderstorms.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. That kind of thing. Right.
Is that Dr. Ruth heading for the Ukraine over in the background?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm scared of thunderstorms. I go in the basement.
No.
Oh.
The best ones were in Tucson.
Lightning hit my parents' house, and it hit me. It was like, boom!
Oh, my God.
And ever since I was a kid, I've been scared of thunderstorms.
Well, yeah, that's a legit reason to be scared of a thunderstorm. I mean, you know, my PE teacher told a horrific story at school once when we were just, I was about 13, 14, and we had this massive school field at the back of the school for like playing rugby, hockey, you know, football, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, there's this big tree, big oak tree, right towards the middle of this field. It's been there for, I don't know, hundreds of years. So we're approaching up by this tree, and it starts, you know, getting really grey. You can hear these rumbles in the distance, and the PE teacher's right, okay, come on, everybody. Get the gear together, let's get back in. He said, everybody was complaining at this point. He was like, no, let us stay out, it's hot, you know, let's carry on. He's like, no, we got to go in, it's dangerous. He said, let me tell you a story. He said, many years ago, there was kids out on this very field, and they were all playing football. And a storm came over, and this one poor boy got struck by lightning as they were trying to get all the kids into the school. And the way he described it, and it was just horrific. It scared the crap out of me, and I've never forgotten that, ever. I always think back to that whenever we get a thunderstorm now, my PE teacher telling that story. You know, it was just, this kid was just so excited. He was just like, no, I'm going to hang around and get all the stuff off the field and then just, you know, follow everybody in. And unfortunately, the lightning struck him and he died.
Oh, my
just,
God.
I didn't
blame
yeah.
anybody for that.
Well, good.
I mean, the chances of lightning striking somebody are very, very, very slim, aren't they?
Yeah. Very slim, really.
Incredible.
Unbelievable.
Well,
wow.
But
remember Lee Trevino, the golfer?
Yeah, Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, he used to have a joke where he'd said, you know, whenever there was a thunderstorm around, he'd hold up a one iron because only God can hit God. Not even God can hit a one iron. But the funny thing is he got hit by lightning on a golf course.
Wow.
Twice.
Oh my goodness.
Twice. Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
Did he win?
But he won a lot. Yeah, he won 21 tournaments, I guess.
I was surprised.
But the great thunderstorms were in Tucson. When I was living in Tucson, we could walk out some evenings during the monsoon, and there would be 360 degrees all the way around on the mountains and hills, and we were in a kind of a valley in a bunch of mountains and hills, and the lightning would be all the way around. So you get a light show of lightning all the way around, just standing in the middle of the street or taking a walk after dinner. It's really cool.
Wow. I think the weirdest thing I've seen is when I was staying with my mum, and she said, oh, there's thunder. Can you hear it? And I was like, no. And then she said, oh, no, it's not thunder. It was just like this massive lorry going past. But the chances were, actually, that after this lorry had passed, she went out the front of the house to speak to a neighbor briefly because she needed to speak to her. And then she called me. She said, Mom, come here. I said, what? She said, come here, look at this. I said, what? So she points over in this one direction and sits literally just this one part of the sky, nowhere else, just one specific spot of the sky had red flashes of light, of thunder, well, not thunder, but the lightning. And this carried on. I was sitting out there watching the whole thing with her for about 45 minutes. It didn't shift position. It was weird. It didn't shift position. It didn't change in size. It was continuous with these red flashes. And it was definitely lightning. It wasn't kind of like anything set up. It was strobe and red lightning.
They want to do it very quickly.
Yeah, it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. But, I can explain
most
that.
Most lightning is happens within the cloud.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's my friend who was a...
How is lightning created?
It's a difference in friction between moving air masses. It's like rubbing your hand against something to get a shock. And here's the interesting thing. I'm growing up, used to see like the sky kind of lighting up, and people say, "Oh, heat lightning." That's heat lightning because you wouldn't see any rain right over you or nearby. There's no such thing as heat lightning. It doesn't exist. So if you see lightning, that means there's a thunderstorm happening somewhere. Lightning occurs in a thunderstorm at the most mature point of a thunderstorm's life. You'll see lightning, and it's a result of extremely fast columns of air moving up and down against each other, and it's that incredible friction that creates lightning. So whenever you see lightning, that means it is raining somewhere. You can't have lightning without a thunderstorm. The two go hand in hand. So, and not only that, but you won't see lightning in a thunderstorm unless it is raining at that mature stage of the storm. And tops of a thunderstorm can reach as high as 55,000 feet, believe it or not. You know, can imagine that.
Wow.
And you know what else is kind of cool? People see clouds. This is also a myth. People see clouds, and they see gray clouds. Oh, it's going to rain. It's a storm cloud. Oh, it's gray. But clouds don't have a color. Clouds is like fog. It's, you know, what you see is refraction of light, which makes clouds appear to be white or makes them gray. And what happens when you see a gray cloud is that the cloud is so vertically thick that light cannot penetrate it all the way, and that's why it appears to be darker than a white cloud. But clouds, there's no difference in color between a gray cloud or a white cloud. They're the same. It's just one is thicker than the other.
Right.
Kind of, I can't tell you how many times I've flown on approaches, you know, beautiful, smooth, clear, beautiful, and then you see this white deck. It looks like a whole huge flat plane of white, smooth clouds, and you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, because you know what's beneath all that stuff. When the tops might be at 7,000 or 8,000 feet, and the bottoms are down around 200 feet visibility, quarter mile or mile of blowing snow or rain. And you know about what you're about to get into as soon as you go into that cloud layer, what the rest of that trip's going to be like. And when you break out of this beautiful, beautiful flight. You know, you're up there. It's gorgeous. And that white, beautiful deck you're about to penetrate, as you go start descending and descending and descending, and, and it gets darker and darker and darker and darker.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
When you fly planes, right, and it get real darker and darker, could you see? I mean, or do the what takes over the airplane to make, you know, make it fly right?
Well, you can see, and you can manually fly the plane. I used to like to fly just to stay with it. I mean, you know, you could push buttons and have the airplane can do everything all by itself, even land. Many airplanes can land by themselves. But to stay, you know, I was a pilot because I like to fly. So what I used to do is pretty much, not all the time, but pretty much fly the airplane manually up to 10,000 feet and take over out of 10,000 feet. Many pilots won't turn the autopilot off until they're on short final approach. I mean, they have the autopilot. I mean, they're commanding the autopilot what to do by inputs in the navigation system. And and all the approaches are like figure highways or roads in the sky through navigation fixes. And the programs have all these fixes and these roads in the sky built into them. So the airplane will fly that what they call arrival route, or standard terminal arrival route, or standard instrument departure route, whatever it might be. They fly them all by themselves. And then you're on final approach, you know, you're just maybe a half a mile or a mile from the runway, if that, and you click the little button on your control wheel, and you hear a little error, and that means the autopilot is off, and you're going to manually fly the airplane. But the airplane is perfectly capable of you know, from takeoff to landing, doing everything all by itself. You'd have to be there to manage it and input the systems and make any changes in the programs, so to speak. But it does everything all by itself.
Of course, Andy was there in case the battery died.
I was. You know, we used to joke about this, that the cockpit of the future is going to be a glass panel. The pilots are going to have to stand behind the glass panel that will keep them out of the seats up front. But you'll have one of these red, these fire, in case of emergency, break here. You know?
A little hammer hit sitting next to the glass. The pilot's supposed to smash it.
Did you ever, I'm sorry.
It's going to crash.
Right? Did you ever have to make an emergency break on the runway?
No. I've had to go around a couple of times, not because one time I went around because there's another airplane on the runway that didn't clear in time. So we were about to land, and they say, oh, got to go around, and bam, you know, power, and off you go. But I have you know, I got out of my career when it was just blossoming, really. I got out at about 4,500 hours, which is pretty, you know, it's not a little bit of time, you know, but a lot of my friends that we've even had on the show have, you know, 25,000 hours of flight time, you know. But I've got, in my 4,500 hours thereabouts, I don't have anything that would, out of the ordinary. I've had weather issues, you know, extreme weather issues, you know, I mean, just incredible weather issues where I'm saying, God, can I do this? Yeah, I can do this. I have to control, give me a radar vector or a turn that put me right on the tail of a small propeller plane. And that's when you feel your heart jump out of your chest. You turn and suddenly here's this little Piper Cherokee in front of you and you're doing 200 some knots and he's doing whatever. And you're like, whoa.
I did take one trip where they did make an emergency landing and the guy it was from Puerto Vallarta up to San Francisco, and it was in the 727 back in 1979. And I had just gotten my pilot's license, so unfortunately I knew too much because this airplane was not acting normally. Noises coming from the belly and all these attitude and altitude and direction changes that didn't seem normal. And sure enough, he landed in Mexicali and he put on full afterburner, you know, full reverse thrust.
Thrust reverser, yeah. Wow.
And,
yeah.
And he got that puppy stopped in 2,000 feet, Andy.
Mm.
727,
wow.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man,
That meant that our dinner was, which we put under the seat before the landing, our dinner was like two seats ahead.
Oh, my goodness.
We had to eat, you know.
Gosh.
But, well, I found out later that what had happened is two of the three hydraulic systems had failed.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
So they were flying on the last hydraulic system. And, of course, all the control surfaces run on hydraulic. So if that third one had failed, we wouldn't be talking.
I was flying, and some of the passengers had a little issue with this because I always wore a parachute when I flew. And
and you had the goggles and everything, and a leather helmet,
scarf.
Hey,
Andy, you're the captain. You're supposed to stay, go down with the plane, right?
I'm the first one out. You kidding me? Anyway, Lucy, you got some planning to do.
Well, that time in Mexicali, the way it ended up, first we sat on the runway for about a half hour in sweltering heat, and then they sent a bus out.
Wow.
And they took us to the air-conditioned terminal, and we were sitting around, and there were two other pilots there, and we were talking about finding a place to rent an airplane so we can get home. But
wow.
Then this plumber's truck came from town. This is Mexicali, Mexico. This truck, a pickup truck with like the pipes, with pipes on the top, held down with straps, and came out from town. And the plumber went into the airplane, into the back, and was fooling around, and then for a while, and then by about four hours, the guy came out and he started wiping the hydraulic fluid off the tail, and they herded us back out to the airplane, and we flew the rest of the way to San Francisco. Needless to say, I was a little worried.
Yes.
the plumber from the Mexicali fixed the airplane. Okay.
God, I'll tell you.
Well, one time it happened to me.
Yeah.
One thing that happened to me, though, I took my daughter on a little trip in a Cessna 150, 152, and we stayed the night at this place and saw Young Frankenstein. That was fun. Then back to the airplane. And I'm getting ready to take off. My daughter's in the second seat. And I crank on the throttle. And I hear bang, 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 bang on the side of the airplane.
Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking Twilight Zone right now.
Oh,
way up. Then it went down.
Yeah.
Well, we were still on the runway. So I cut the throttle and I taxied back. And I got out of the airplane. Turned it off, got out of the airplane, went around, and the tail of my daughter's seatbelt was outside.
Outside
the door.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what was making the bang, bang.
Wow.
But, yeah, heart goes into throat.
That's
one of those, yeah.
Man. Hey, listen, we're down for a waning seconds here. Which means that I guess we have to go. We don't want to go.
That means they can do anything they want.
Almost, but we found that
the whining seconds. Why?
Yeah, if we do, they cut us off. We've been cut off, so we try to be professional and we try. Anyway, so. I'll tell you
perhaps
what it is, though.
I got a little bit lucky to get three. A lot of presidents have had none. They've never had. They stay on for a long time. They're young when they're old when they come off.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like that sometimes, actually.
Well, we get one hour. We're glad to have it. Anyway, folks, thanks for joining in. 515-605-9888, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Eastern Daylight Time, whatever time that might be in your corner of the world. This is the Andy Demanda Program. Let us know what you think of the show. Send your comments, questions, suggestions, anything you like to andydemandashow@gmail.com. And we're also on all the usual social media. Just come and Google or search for us, whatever, and put your comments and add your 2 cents, and we'd love to have you on board here anytime. It's your show. We do it for you. We have a lot of fun doing it. And we're over, 2 years and 400 and 408 shows or so, somewhere around there now. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Incredible. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody. Get us out of here. We'll see you on Thursday.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So on behalf of Andy.
3 a.m. in London.
Myself.
Yeah,
yeah.
What time is it in London? What time is it there?
It's
3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Wow. Yeah, 3 a.m.
Go back to bed. You know what I'm saying? Right now. You have to get up early in the morning. Get to bed.
Yeah.
Right now. You know?
But we do appreciate you listening.
I'll tell you. Yeah, we
this
do.
This is a big crowd.
I think it's
10 a.m. tomorrow in Beijing.
Oh.
Well, I wonder if it's going to be a pretty sunrise.
Might be. Sunrise.
We can call somebody in Beijing.
Sunrise, sunset.
I don't know.
I love the sunrise and the sunset.
Excuse me.
Here comes the sun.
Oh, my God. So let's get out of here, man, before they do kick us off. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can do your honors now, I think.
Oh, okay. It's going to be a short one. So on behalf of Ali Kimball, myself, Mandalove, Cornell Butler, and Jack Gardner, we wish you a wonderful week. Come join us on Wednesday for another show because we want to see you there. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Have fun.
And I want to I've got a song all queued up here to play for exit music today. No. I'm getting it. Give me a second. That ain't it. Oh, here it is. I got it. All right, folks. That's it. Here we go. We're ready. We'll see everybody Wednesday. Here's our exit music for the day. This is for you, man.
Adios.
Hello.
Porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. Una cucaracha pinta, le grita una colorada. Vámonos para Chihuahua a pasar la temporada. Una cucaracha pinta, le dice a una colorada. Vámonos para Chihuahua a pasar la temporada. La cucaracha, ya no puede caminar. Porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. La cucaracha, ya no puede caminar. Porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. La cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. La cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
Fumar.
Oh my gosh, I thought that was incredible.
Okay, that's very interesting. Oh my god.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the Andy Manager Show. It's Wednesday. Oh no, it isn't. Well, that was fast.
Oh my goodness.
We're still here. God.
Yeah. Anyway.
They're gonna cut us off eventually. Yeah, me too. Me too. Should we play another song? They might cut us off. Anybody want to hear more music?
Yeah.
What? We could. This is some. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not. We're getting there. Well, let's see what you have to say.
Is it okay to say?
Are we still on?
We are.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, actually. But we are still on. I'm surprised. They must really like us at Block Talk Radio.
One guy lives the life of a millionaire.
They're leading us into a false sense of security. They're going to be like, "Yeah, I'll just let them get comfortable," and then bah.
It is. Boom. It's happened before. Boom. Yeah,
pull the rug out from underneath our feet.
And they don't warn you. It's just suddenly they pull you off. Boom, you're done. Yeah. You know, it's like, wow.
Before the last laugh.
Yeah. Well, you know, you always got
to. In a relationship, you have to make time for sex.
Yeah.
So that's why they cut us off.
That's right.
They want to get busy.
Well, I think what we'll do is play another song. Cause,
cool.
You know? You think you agree?
Cool. Yeah.
What do we feel like hearing? What kind of music should we hear today? How about our?
Ooh.
Let's see.
Something to motivate our week, I guess. In
okay.
That kind of. Yeah.
Okay.
Mood.
I got something.
Uh-oh. Julia Child, Miss Broiler. Miss Fryer, Miss Roaster, Miss Kippenette, Miss Stewart, and old Madam Hen.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, come on. No, here we go. Yeah, okay, we got it. All right, folks, this should do it. If this don't do it, I can't help you. All right, folks, this is it. We really are leaving this time with this tune, Andy Demander Show, Blog Talk Radio. We'll see you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sexy machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sexy machine. Get on up. Machine. Get on up, get up, get on up, stay on the scene, get on up, like a sex machine, get on up, wait a minute, shake your arm, then use your bar, stay on the scene, like a sex machine, you got to have the feeling, sure your bone, get it together, right on, right on, get up, get on up. Stay on the scene like a loving.
Together.
Yeah.